about it.
And see if we want to adopt the amendments, or should we just forget about it?
Well, we're not going to do it first anyway, because we're going to do... Good afternoon, and welcome to the Wednesday, April 29th meeting of the Senate Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development. And we are now moving on to House bills, and we see that we have actually an acknowledgement of that. We've got a representative in the audience, so we will take his bill up first.
A representative in the audience?
A representative in the audience, yeah. So I think we're going to start by opening a public hearing on House Bill 2826. And Jeremy, would you please tell us about this bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2826A clarifies that the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries is responsible for issuing special overtime periods permits for minors under the age of 16 working in agriculture. It establishes that minors age 14 and 15 may work between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. when working between June 1st and Labor Day. There's no revenue impact, there's no fiscal impact, and the bill passed the House on a vote of 59 to nothing.
Great. And I see Representative Andy Olson in the audience, and a good friend of mine.
Pete Newhall could come up
so,
with
yes, if you'd both like to come forward and tell us about this bill. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Andy Olson, and I'm a state representative out of the Albany area. And great opportunity to be in front of you. I just wanted to bring back old memories for you there, too, if you've noticed in front of you on your desk,
you
Madam Chair.
You definitely have succeeded.
Thank you. You have written testimony in front of you that I've addressed to you, but I'd like to just take the moment and just read that to you if you'd follow along with me. House Bill 2826 is the Youth Opportunity and Responsibility Bill, bipartisan legislation that allows Oregon youth to experience the benefits of having a job. 2826 is fairly simple. First, it gives the commissioner the authority to issue special permits to youth under the age of 16 to work. Secondly, it allows youth under 16 to work until 7 p.m. and then between June 1st through Labor Day extends those hours to 9 p.m. This bill does not weaken or undermine Oregon's child labor laws, and in fact, it brings our labor laws into line with what the U.S. Department of Labor allows. It's a simple measure giving youth an opportunity to learn how to work, earn money, manage their time. House Bill 2826 will also help appropriately prepare youth for the demands of higher education, advanced careers, and adulthood. A driving force behind this bill is gaining life experience, because employers recognize how important it is to have applicants or candidates who have life experiences that can be applied toward personal careers. And several years ago during my rookie season on the House side, Brad Avakian was sitting up front alongside of me, and during that time period, he had mentioned to me, he says, you know, it would be really neat if someday we were able to co-sponsor a child labor type bill. That's what this is, and I've had conversation with him where this is at today, and he's right there supportive of that. So House Bill 2826 gives Oregon youth the same opportunities that many of us enjoyed when we were young, and I'm pleased to say that the former House colleague, Labor Commissioner that we have today with is Brad Avakian, is fully in support of this, as well as the Oregon Farm Bureau. So that completes my testimony.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Representative Olson? Okay. Thank you very much. And
Senator Sanderson. I feel the bill doesn't go far enough. And growing up in Gresham, you know, it used to be the strawberry capital of the world. And when I was 8 years old, I was getting up at 5 a.m. with my sister, and we'd go on out to the berry fields and pick berries till like 10 or noon, and then we'd go to Blue Lake Park and have fun swimming. And I earned... I remember earning $100 that first summer, And that's something that kids nowadays, they don't have to work. They haven't learned to work. They've learned to have fun, but they haven't learned how to a work ethic. So I don't know how. I mean, I think that children just don't. Maybe we couldn't get kids to go out and work in the berry fields anymore. Probably not. But in this day and age, but I truly do feel it was a disservice to put in such strict child labor laws. But I assume that there were people that were really abusing it way back when. But I think we have gone to an extreme where our kids just don't have. They don't know how to work anymore. A lot of them don't. Just a comment, not really a question.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Montes Anderson, I appreciate your comment. And I guess my thoughts on that is that if we don't provide them an opportunity, you know, but I do agree with what you're saying. I don't know, Kate, you might be able
well,
to...
Well, what I was going to...
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sorry, Kate Newhall, Bureau of Labor and Industries. And I think that in many ways, Commissioner Avakian and Representative Olson would likely agree with you, Senator Montes Anderson. When we were working on House Bill 2826 with Representative Olson, we were very careful to make sure that it was crafted in such a way that it was exactly consistent with the provisions of federal law regulating the employment of minors in the workplace. And so as it is right now, House Bill 2826 is as permissive as state law can be without conflicting with federal child labor law provisions.
Okay. Yes, Senator George.
Thank you. Kate, can you explain the process? So what happens is a child who's under 16 can work, but they have to have a special permit, or is it only in a situation that if they're going to work longer than 10 hours in a day? So if I have a kid who's working on the farm, can they work 8 hours a day without a permit? How does that, just so I know how that
it's
works.
It's actually slightly different for every age range of a minor. So if you have a minor ages 10 and 11, they can work outside of school hours for no more than 8 weeks between June 1st and October 15th, and they have to be in those restricted hours. If you have minors that are 9 and 11, they can work in agriculture if they have the written consent of their parent or guardian, and they can work within those hours. If they're 12 or 13, they don't need to have their parent or guardian consent. They do need to have a work permit, and they cannot work in hazardous occupations. If they are 14 or 15, they, again, can't work outside of school hours, can't work in hazardous occupations, and still need the the employer needs the employment of minor certificate. And minors over age 16 can work at any time in jobs that are not hazardous. So it's slightly, and I actually have a handout of all of these provisions if you want me to leave you with a copy, but it is slightly different depending on the age of the minor.
I'm not sure that was employed in the former state senator from Newburgh who was here, but I will go along with that. So I think on the old George farm, the work hours are a little different than that.
Family members, for sure.
Okay, Senator. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you both
thank
very
you.
Much. And is there anyone else who wants to testify on House Bill 2826? It does not appear that there is. Senator Brzezinski? Oh, okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2826 and open a work session on House Bill 2826. And Senator Montes Anderson, since Senator Telfer is excused today.
I'd love to. Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2826A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Montes Anderson has moved House Bill 2826A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, Pam, please call the roll.
Senator George.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Montes Anderson, would you like to carry this bill?
I'd be delighted to.
Okay, great. And I'll close.
Senator Telfer is excused.
And Senator Telfer is excused. And thank you, Representative, and always good to see you. I will close the work session on House Bill 2826. And does it look like we're good to go on that? Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2203A, And members, this bill has been on our agenda for a while, and unfortunately, things keep coming up with this bill. So today, we have yet another amendment, and that is because the bill has to be reviewed by Legislative Council for conflicts, and they came back with a conflict amendment. So Jeremy, what's going on?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, as you may remember, we've seen this bill two times before. House Bill 2203A establishes that in the case of conflict between a provision of Oregon Employment Department law and other provision of state law, Employment Department law prevails. Clarifies that types of employment that will end an individual's disqualification from unemployment insurance benefits are limited to employment subject to Oregon Employment Department law or equivalent law in another state or Canada, employment required to be covered under the Federal Unemployment Tax Act, or employment by the federal government. The bill expands domestic violence criteria from application to a minor child to include any member of an individual's immediate family. It expands extended benefit eligibility to emergency unemployment compensation claimants who would not have qualified under prior federal law and under current state law. It expands the definition of dislocated workers. It carries back eligibility for extended benefits. There's no revenue impact, and in fact, today we did receive, with the help of Legislative Fiscal Office, we received a fiscal on the Dash 3 bill, which is what we hope to complete today. We learned about 3 hours ago that there was a conflict that Legislative Council found. Legislative Council this afternoon, 2 minutes before the hearing, produced this Dash 4 amendment, and that's where it stands right now.
So, members, that means that we will not be able to, unfortunately, work the bill all the way through today, but we can adopt this amendment. So,
Madam Chair,
Senator Przanski.
I move that the committee adopt A4s, which are hot off the press, into House Bill 2203.
Okay, Senator Przanski moves the Dash A4 amendments into House Bill 2203. Is there any discussion?
Yes, I really would like to know why we have the A4s. I know you say there's conflicts, but if we could have someone, since I just would like to know what the differences are between the A3s and what the original bill is.
I happen to have somebody who has just gone through this with a fine-tooth comb, so I'll call Tom Byerly. Would you please come forward?
And members of the committee, I would point out that Mr. Byerly received the amendment about 10 minutes ahead of us.
So he's fully schooled.
Yep.
Well, probably knows more than we do.
So welcome back.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Tom Byerly, Administrator for the Unemployment Insurance Division of the Employment Department. Appreciate the chance to get a chance to go through the Dash 4s just before you open the hearing, and I did uncover the change. There is a new Section 12 on page 21, and the conflict that must have come up is House Bill 2109 is referenced in Section 12 that wasn't referenced in the Dash 3s. 2109, as I understand it, is changing the definition of professional technical training in another. It's just basically a name change for the training in that bill. And so 2109 did not propose to repeal 657.337, and that created the conflict. So this section is noting that if 2109 passes, 337 would be deleted in that bill as well as this bill. And 657.337 is basically a policy statement that says the Employment Department and the Department of Community Colleges will work together to promulgate rules and to work this all out. My understanding at the beginning of session, Ledge Council told me that they were trying to, as much as possible, take policy-type statements out of law. And so that's why that's being repealed. So I know that's just my two cents, but that was my side-by-side run-through of the bill. That was the conflict, was the name change in 2109. Thankfully, it doesn't affect the fiscal, but I know procedurally we have to go back through legislative fiscal, and those guys have been really knocking themselves out to get this done for us today, and it's regrettable that we have to, again, ask them to look at it.
I agree. And that's the answer to your question, Senator.
Okay, yeah, I guess we didn't get the backsides of the amendment, and that's why I'm so confused.
Oh, really? Mine has both sides.
I don't have both sides, so I was trying to do a side-by-side, and it looked like that there was not a match with on page nine. Well, maybe there is. Maybe that's my problem is...
Yeah, Madam Chair...
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. It looks like the copies had only every other page.
We have the odd pages for A4, but if you look at the A3 and compare that page 21, you can see what is a component record.
Yeah, so if it is exactly the same except for
Madam
that one
Chair,
error...
Yeah. I'm going to withdraw my motion to the adoption of the A4s at this point. I don't feel comfortable not having the complete amendment there so we can have that.
Okay. Well, since we can't move the bill today anyway, we can carry it over and just adopt it at our next hearing, and we'll make sure that everybody's got a complete copy of it then. But thank you, Tom.
Okay. Hopefully that that helped describe what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. I was not aware of the change myself. So.
Right. We understand. Okay. Well, thank you for
thank
the
you.
Explanation.
It was always a pleasure.
And I'm going to carry House Bill 2203 in work session over to our next hearing, which will be Monday, and we'll have copies for everybody, and we'll just work the bill then, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 2203. And next, I'll open a work session on House Bill 2731.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2731 permits contracting agency and person appealing the disqualification or denial, revocation, or revision of being pre-qualified for public contracting work to agree on a time in which the Director of Oregon Department of Administrative Services or the Local Contract Review Board must conduct the hearing and decide an appeal. The bill has no revenue impact, has no fiscal impact, and passed in the House 60-0.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. We have one person signed up to testify, and that's Matt Jaffe, if you'd like to come forward. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Matt Jaffe with the City of Portland's Office of Government Relations. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you this afternoon in support of House Bill 2731. House Bill 2731 makes one minor change to the pre-qualification process for construction contractors. It permits a contracting agency to hold more time to hold a hearing on a pre-qualification decision and if and only if the contractor agrees to the extension of time. Currently, public contracting agencies determine whether construction contractors meet state qualification requirements in order to bid on a project. At the city, an annual pre-qualification process is conducted in accordance with state law to ensure that contractors that bid on city projects are qualified to do so. If the contractor disagrees with the agency's decision, they may ask for a hearing, and that hearing must be held within 30 days of the appeal. While the desire for speed is very understandable, certainly given our economic time, we want to get people to work as quickly as possible. Sometimes this 30-day time requirement is a little difficult to meet. For example, should a contractor hire an attorney, the attorney would then need to review all the agency documents, get up to speed, and then a schedule must be worked out with the contractor, the contracting agency, and the attorney, which, as I'm sure you can imagine, it can sometimes be difficult to do in a 30-day window. If possible, the city would grant more time to contractors if they requested it. However, under present law, we can't. So the proposed change in House Bill 2731 would allow the city to work more efficiently and cooperatively with contractors by giving them the time they need. Decisions would be made in a more effective manner, and would prevent the pre-qualification process from becoming unnecessarily adversarial. 2731 really provides a simple mechanism to correct problems that arise due to this 30-day time period, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you this afternoon and would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thanks for your testimony. Any questions? Okay, doesn't look like it. Thanks a lot. Is there anyone else who wants to testify on House Bill 2731? If not, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2731 and open a work session on House Bill 2731.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
Senator
Lennis Anderson.
I move House Bill 2731 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Lennis Anderson moves House Bill 2731 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, Pam, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Excused. Aye. Motion carries. And would someone like to carry this bill? Senator George.
Sure.
Okay. Great. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 2731. And that brings us to House Bill 2634, and I'll open a work session. I mean, whoops, not so fast.
Why not?
Yeah, they're ready. How about a public hearing? I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2634. Jeremy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, you'll see this is the shortest SMS I've prepared this session. The measure authorizes State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation to accept letter of credit or similar instrument to secure payment of premiums. I neglected to put on here the bill was unopposed in the House and has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Okay, short and sweet, and we have one person signed up to testify, and that's Chris Davey. If you'd please come forward. And welcome to the Commerce and Workforce Development Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm Chris Davey with Safe Corporation. And first, let me thank you for taking this bill on your first full day of House bills. As you've heard, this is a pretty straightforward bill. It adds about half a dozen words to the statutes that govern SAFE that allows us to accept a letter of credit. And just by way of background, workers' compensation insurance is unlike most other personal or commercial lines of insurance in that the premium is often paid in arrears. The premium is a function of the payroll that the employer pays, and if the policy is written for a period of a year, then you wouldn't know until the end of the year how much the payroll was and how much the premium might be. So in essence, a workers' compensation insurer is extending credit to the policyholder. And that would depend on the degree of risk and the history of that particular account. The statutes that govern SAFE were written, for the most part, a long time ago. This particular statute was written in 1933, and it has only been amended slightly in the intervening years. It says that SAFE can accept a deposit or, in lieu of a deposit, a surety bond. It doesn't say that we can accept a letter of credit. And we had occasion to ask the Department of Justice a couple of years ago, well, can we accept a letter of credit? And they said, well, no, because the statute's pretty clear. You can only have A or B. You can't have C. And so you're going to have to go change the law. So that's what brings us to the legislature this session, to simply amend that statute to permit us to accept a letter of credit as an alternative means of securing credit from a policyholder. We do have a lot of policyholders who would like to offer that to us today. We're not able to accept that, and so if we're able to amend the statute, then it'll give our policyholders a little more flexibility, make it easier for them to do business. The Department of Justice obviously supported us going forward with this. The Department of Consumer and Business Services has no objection to this, and I also checked with some of the private insurance companies that we compete with, and none of them have an objection to this bill either. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Senator Manis Anderson.
So what if a company goes bankrupt or goes out of business and they had put in a letter of credit, or how does it even work now? And then there are employees that get laid off who would be maybe eligible for, are we talking
workers' comp?
Workers' comp.
Madam Chair, Senator Monis Anderson, as I understand how a letter of credit would work, it's issued by a bank. And so if the company went out of business, the bank would stand behind the letter of credit and they would pay the premium that's due. It doesn't have any impact at all on whether we would pay benefits to the injured worker. We have a lot of, not a lot, but we have some companies who go bankrupt, go out of business. We never get the premium, but we still pay the benefits just as if the premium's paid in full.
Thank you.
And so is this common practice for other workers' comp insurers?
Madam Chair, yes, it is. And other lines of insurance, too. Letters of credit, of course, are commonly used in all kinds of commercial transactions.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else who wants to testify on House Bill 2634? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2634. And I'll open a work session on House Bill 2634. Senator Mona Sanderson.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2634 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Mona Sanderson has moved House Bill 2634 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Pam, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Excused. Aye. Motion carries. And we need a carrier, and Senator Przanski will carry. Okay, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 2634. That completes our agenda for today. And so in almost record time, I think, we are adjourned.